And now, today's word.
My message today is very simple, and I've titled it, Place It in the Hands of Jesus. Place it in the hands of Jesus. And you may ask, what should we place in the hands of Jesus? We'll find out very soon. Place it in the hands of Jesus. What do you do when you are in a difficult place in life, time is not on your side, and you have very little resources but a huge problem to solve? You look around you and what you have is inadequate. And these days we are all aware of that. So today we're going to follow Jesus and learn from him. We will examine the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. It is the miracle, the one miracle of Jesus that is mentioned in all the four gospels. Each gospel account gives a detail that helps us to see the total picture. So ideally, it would be great to read all the four gospel accounts, but I am not going to be able to do that just for time, for us to manage time well. I will focus on Matthew's rendering of that account and how the apostle Matthew saw the account and the Holy Spirit enabled him to give to us. But I would also make references to Luke's account and John's account in my message. Just before I read the passage, it's important to note that the miracles of Jesus Christ carry both a spiritual and a natural truth. At the base of it, the miracle is a supernatural, miraculous act. But it is also written for us to learn God's principles in it. And so whilst we see the supernatural miracle, we are also learning how God works and its application to our natural life. And so let's read the account from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. And this would form the base, but as I said, I will be accounting from the other Gospels as well. So Matthew, chapter 14, verse 13 to 21. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. And he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he blessed them, broke, and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. That means that although we normally call it the feeding of the 5,000, if you added the women and the children, the number was way beyond 5,000. If you want the other readings, it will be in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 13 to 17, and John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 4 to 11. Jesus, as you know, was usually followed by large numbers of people. He was a phenomenal teacher of God's word. Of course, he is the word of God himself. And so anytime he taught, people had such clarity of the scriptures that they never had before. But in addition to teaching, Jesus also worked miracles in the lives of people, and people were healed. So on this particular occasion, Jesus is teaching. Other accounts say that he's been doing it for 3 days. And the Bible says that he has healed the sick. But this meeting is not taking place in a chapel. It's not in a church auditorium. It is out there in the field. And so for these number of days, people are listening to Jesus. The sick are getting healed, but the people are getting hungry because they are human beings. They need food to eat. And so there is a challenge presented in this place. And Matthew says, chapter 14, verse 15, "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, 'This is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves bread.'" So what was the challenge facing them at the stand? First, they had a problem with the place where they were. The Bible says they were in a deserted place. So they had a location problem. The people had followed Jesus to a place that is deserted. So the location is wrong. Now, many times we have a location problem where you pitch your tent, where you live, where you stay. For almost all of us in a nation like Ghana, there is a location problem because we are considered the least developed of the countries of the world. At least our continent is seen that way. And of the least developed in Africa, we are probably the last but one. I think Central Africa is the worst, and we top them a little bit. So growing in a nation like Ghana sometimes seems like a disadvantage. The place is deserted. So there is a location problem, and we may feel there is a location problem. Maybe you think if you were in another country, you were in another place, you would do better. So first, a location problem, place. Second, the time problem. They had a time problem. The disciple says the hour is already late. Time is against us. Time is against us. And the reason they said the hour is late is because this is evening and the sun is about to set. And you know, those days there was no electricity. And so you couldn't switch on lights, and there was no solar power to give us artificial light. So when the light goes down, sun goes down, nobody works. So they have just a short time for something to happen because time is against us. So there is a location problem. There is a time problem. Time is against us. And if you look at it, they have a big need, a huge multitude, 5,000 men, besides women and children, hungry people. They've been fed spiritually. They've heard the word of God. Their bodies have been healed. But there is something about hunger that is not easy to compensate. When people are hungry, you can give them the word of God, pray for them, but hunger has its own dynamic. And so these people, they appreciate the spiritual help they've received from Jesus. They appreciate all the good things. They appreciate the fact that they've been healed, but they don't appreciate the fact that they are hungry. And that's one of the things I've come to realize in life. No matter how well you help people, no matter how you try to help people, if they feel hungry, they tend to overlook all the good that has been done. So these people are hungry. And Jesus understands it. That although I have preached to them and I have ministered to them, they have a hunger problem. So there is a space problem, there is a time problem, and there is a huge need, a multitude. And the resources are limited. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I like how John's gospel renders that. John chapter 6, verse 8 to 9 says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. And what are they amongst many? That's the resource they have. Matthew says it's 5 loaves, but John goes into a little detail and tells us the quality of the loaves. And he says there are 5 barley loaves. Now, why does John say 5 barley loaves? Because in the days of Jesus, top priority loaves were made from wheat, just like our time here. Barley loaves was inferior, cheap quality loaves. So what they're saying is what we have is cheap, is barley loaves. And then we have fish, 2 fish. But he didn't say 2 fish. John qualifies the fish and says it's 2 small fish. In other words, the quality is inferior. The size is inferior. So you have barley loaves, not even wheat loaves. And you have fish that are small, not even tuna, big tuna fish. 2 small fish. And so they themselves look at the resource available to solve this problem. And they ask a very simple question. What are they among so many? So they acknowledge what they have and they depreciate it. And many times we go through life that way. We look at what we have in our hands. It may not be barley loaves, but it may just be 50 cedis. It may be 5 cedis. It may be 100 cedis. And it doesn't seem like much. What is this among so many? That's the question that they ask. What is what I have in relation to the problem I have to solve and the time frame that is against me and the location that is fighting against me? I came to announce to somebody today, God is about to work something in your life, in your business, in the next few months, in this year. What you hold in your hand that seems inferior, what you hold in your hand that seems small, the place where you have that seems to be a disadvantage, the time that you think is against you, God is about to take all this together and put it into a package to work a miracle in your life. And as we bounce back from the hazards of this virus, we are going to be faced with limited resources, time against us, location disadvantage, barley loaves, 2 small fish. And we are going to ask ourselves, how can we use these for our nation, Ghana? How are we going to use the little resources and the disadvantages we have? For you as a person, for churches. And you're wondering, how am I going to survive after this? God says he's about to work something in your life. Yes, the location doesn't favor you. Time doesn't favor you. Resources are limited. They are cheap. They are inferior. And you're asking yourself, what are these among so many? So they propose options. The disciples says, well, looking at where we are, the time that is against us, and the resources we have, send them away. In other words, don't even try to solve it, Jesus. Because Jesus asked them, what should we do? And the disciples say, sir, close shop, shut down the business, declare bankruptcy, send them away. There's no way we can solve this. Nothing is in our advantage. That's option number one. And if you have thought of that option, I want you to know God thought of you, and so he put it in the scripture that there will be people who have that option. But there's option number two. And that is the option that Jesus gave. Jesus says, give them something to eat. And they look at each other and say, Lord, do you really understand where we are? We are in the desert. The village, next village is far away. And even if we had so much money and we go to the village, We wouldn't even have enough bakers to bake enough bread for these people. And we are not even sure how much money is required to feed this multitude of people. But Jesus says, give them something to eat. God will give you something to eat. God will intervene in your situation. The location is wrong. The resources are limited. Time is against you. But I hear Jesus speaking from the centuries into our life today. Give him something to eat. Give her something to eat. Give them something to eat. God is about to give you something to eat. So, two options. Send them away. Don't try to solve it. Disciples, Jesus, give them something to eat. Now, if you were there, whose option would you be if you were in the multitude? Maybe some of them say, well, we think the disciples are smart, you know, they're practical people, so let's go. And some will say, well, we think Jesus knows how to solve problems like this, although we haven't seen him do anything like that. We think he can do something about it. Where would you be? Would you say, let me close shop or give them something to eat? I trust Jesus or I trust the disciples. Where is your faith? What is this among so many people? So, one of the disciples comes and says, Lord, there's a young boy here who hasn't eaten his food. He's kept his 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Remember, this is a small boy's lunch. It's not an adult lunch. So, in my mind's eye, I can imagine if he's a lad, probably about 12, 14, he's going to hear Jesus. His mother says, take this bread and take this fish. He didn't have anybody. He didn't have no big grown men in mind. So this is a small boy's meal. And they say, Jesus, this is what we have. Jesus says, fine. Now let's try to solve the problem. So let's see how Jesus solves the problem. Luke's account. In chapter 9, verse 14 to 15. For there was about 5,000 men. Then he said to the disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. 5,000 people massed up. It's very difficult to feed. When you see the problem big as it is, it's difficult to solve it. So Jesus introduced a process. He says to the disciples, there are over 5,000 people here. Let them sit down in groups of 50. So in groups of 50, that probably means if it's just 5,000, there'll be about 100 groups. So instead of solving 5,000 problems, Jesus now is looking at it in groups of 100 or 50 for 100. If even if you double it, there will probably be about 200 groups spread out there. And what Jesus is teaching us is even when you have all the solution, you have to organize the problem.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otobo, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otobo. Email otobo@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.